You know? And this was before Robin was even playing bass. He took me to Burnley and introduced me. Funny enough, come to realize, Burnley and my father's very good friends.
And you didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Oh, Lord.
You know?
Yeah.
So with that again, you know, it's again, I never, it's, these things were meant to happen. It seemed, because I never knew Burnley from, I would see him, but I didn't know who he was.
Right.
You know, so Robbie introduced me to him and went to Dynamic and I did some overdub.
Okay.
For the song Stick By Me.
Now, I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to look, this is a list of just the artists and producers you work for, okay?
Yeah.
And out of these, I picked out a couple, like some that were impressive to myself, like Yabby Yu and Johnny Clark and Ross Michael, because that's like real roots reggae music, Rastaman music.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I find that there is, like when I look at your credits, I look and I see, obviously that stuff stands out to me, but then I look and you see stuff that, you know, the stuff you've done with Inner Circle is kind of more pop. With all these production, I mean, all these compositions, these playing credits, I mean, we could go on for days. You just played on Maxi Priest's Grammy nominated album, It All Comes Back to Love.
Right.
Which is a great album. A great album. It's, I don't know why it never got the recognition it deserved. I mean, it did get a Grammy nomination, but it just seemed like it didn't. There's this, I mean, you did stuff with The Police, you did stuff with Beverly Hills Cop, you did Gucci Mane, you've done pop stuff, you've done rap stuff, you've done it all, or almost all. What are some of the ones that stand out for you personally and why?
Oh.
Even if it's a couple or just whatever.
It's kind of hard to say.
Of course it is. That's why I say maybe.
It's very difficult to say because, you know, a lot of this, you know, as you say, go back to the root of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think back on somebody like Yabby Yu, which kind of spiritual in a way. you know, and you go back and you think on those kind of thing, and then you think of as I say, Ras Michael and Sons of Negus.
Yeah.
And by the way, incidentally, it's not just a matter of as performer, but you have to understand that in that with Ras Michael thing, Inner Circle was also involved with that, and we were pretty much a part of the production process as well as musicians.
Did you guys do New Name?
Yes.
That name, see, that's one of my favorite songs in the world. There's a new name.
I'm terrible.
Yo, I love that song, you see, man.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, as I say, we did it all, you know. Mm-hmm. Come to think about another thing again, another album, and I have to, you talk about mention album, I must mention this.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, a lot of fans see this as a roots album, and I see it as a roots album too. And people don't.
Which one?
A lot of people don't realize that Inner Circle played this album.
Which one?
Israel Vibration debut album.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
Same song.
Same song.
Same
God.
Song.
That's an anthem.
That's all Inner Circle.
Wicked.
That's
wicked.
Inner Circle with the addition of Mikey Chung and probably Chinna Earl Smith.
But didn't Mikey Chung play with Inner Circle at one time?
Yes.
Yeah.
So did Chinna.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, when you joined, wasn't there another keyboard player too? Charles?
Yeah, Bulgy, yeah.
Yeah.
Charles Fox. He's the guy who played with Toots up until his death.
Okay.
That's the guy who you see with Toots in the
Beatles. Okay. Now, who else was in that band at that time when you joined? There was Mikey, there was Charles, and wasn't there somebody else that was different?
Who
was the drummer?
With Inner Circle.
Yeah, who was the drummer?
At the time, with Inner Circle, Osmote.
Oh, okay.
Osmote.
Wallace?
Yes.
The original?
Yes.
What?
Osmote, when I came into Inner Circle, Osmote was the drummer.
Oh, okay. You know? So when you joined Inner Circle, already there was Mikey Chung, Charles on keys, obviously Mikey was on guitar,
No child with no kids, no. At the time when I
he was what?
I want to give. Let me give you the story.
That okay,
story,
yeah, give me the story. That's story. What I want.
I was in Otrius.
Okay.
I was performing in the clubs in Otrius at the time. So they had a club called Roots at the Sheila B. Hotel, right next to the Playboy Hotel. That the owners of Roots decide that, you know what, we're in Jamaica. We're going to present Jamaican music the way it's supposed to be presented.
I like that.
You know?
I like
and
that.
And which was very brave of them at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So every week they would have a different act come in.
Okay.
So this week they had Inner Circle came in. Inner Circle at the time, when Inner Circle came to Otrius at that time to do that gig, they came without a keyboard player. So it was Jacob Miller, Roger Lewis, Ian Lewis, Mike Chung, Osmalt. That was it.
Okay.
So they approached me at where I was working and say, listen man, we have this show later on, you know, coming up, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they were there a couple of days before.
Right, right,
the
right,
show
right.
was like Friday, Saturday, whatever. I think it was about Wednesday they approached me and said, we have a show coming up, blah, blah, blah. You know, you think you can do it? Will you be able to do it, you know? And I said, sure. So because I finished working at 10 at night.
Right.
You know, and this club, they start their show like midnight.
Right, that's what I was going to say, Jamaican time.
So I said, yeah. So that's what happened really and truly. So
okay.
We went and we did that and, you know, it worked out, went to the rehearsals and I liked the rehearsals, everything and nice. Mm. It was nice. A nice vibe.
And that's kind of how you officially became.
Yeah.
Wicked.
And the point was that I remember we did a show and the show was nice and the man said, boy, I told you need to come back to Kingston, man. You need to do this, that. And in truth, I never really wanted to go back to Kingston.
Right.
Because I never liked the lifestyle I was living in Kingston.
Yeah.
Before. You know what I mean? And then I was at my father's place and, you know, I said, no, man. So Jake said, no, come live with me. Come up on the hill, come live with us up on the hill, you know?
Okay,
just
okay.
Come live with us up on the hill. And
so
all right,
who
okay.
Were you living with? Who was it? Was it just you and Jake's?
So it was, no, Jake's, Roger, Ian and myself.
What?
So that's all the core of Inner Circle.
Got created.
Actually, that core that is still there till today, even though today is we're talking today on Jacob Miller's birthday,
yeah,
is a reason for that too again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Know? Yeah. You know, so it just so happened that became the core of the band, the four of us.
Okay.
You know.
And then
and so forth after that, now, as I said, Osmalt was already there.
Uh-huh.
So shortly after that, we bring in Charles Fox and Bulgy.
Okay.
You know? And, you know, Bulgy was always a friend from long time. So, you know what I mean? It just worked out that way.
How long did Mikey and Horsemouth play with the band?
For quite some time. Mikey was there on and off for several years.
Okay.
You know, Osmalt was there for several years too until, I don't know, oh, I know what happened. Until the movie Rockers.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yes, up until the movie, when we did the movie Rockers,
yeah.
You know, at that point, Osmalt decides, say, in kind of, you know, him decides to more try something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which yeah. You can't leave a man for trying something.
No.
So
yeah.
You know, when him do that, we get our next man now, who was really a jazz drummer.
Okay.
You know, one of the baddest jazz players in Jamaica. He was not a reggae player.
Okay.
But he was a drummer.
Right.
You know, technically speaking, this guy was a drummer. Calvin McKenzie.
Okay.
You know, and if you talk to any Jamaican drummers like Sly, they'll tell you that this guy was bad.
Yeah.
Well, after Inner Circle, he went with a band. He went with the Dobson Brothers.
Okay.
I forgot the name of the band. But what's the name of the band?
I
can't remember the name of the Dobson Brothers band. But we went with them for a while. Native.
Oh, okay.
The Native.
Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne. And
Wayne Jobson and his brother.
Yeah, Andrew. Yeah. You know, so he worked with them for a while, but then he lost his kick drum leg in a car accident.
Wow.
Yeah. So I heard in Ferngully or someplace like that.
Now tell me about the stint that you ended up doing with the Rolling Stones. Tell us about that. How'd that come about?
Well, that came after Peace Concert, you know.
Okay.
We did Peace Concert, and the day after Peace Concert.
And you played it with Bob, right?
No. I was did that with Inner Circle.
With Inner Circle, okay.
Yeah. Bob had his own ensemble at that time.
With
Tyrone and I think Al. I'm not even sure if it was Al or Junior.
Okay. It was Al. Yeah.
At the time, you know. Yeah. And Inner Circle did that, and I was reading an article again today, you know, and somebody said Inner Circle was clearly the star of the show, you know?
Yeah.
Because what we did, you know, I think what we did prompt Bob to do what he did.
Right.
Because what Jacob Miller did after we got the crowd involved, and of course we tore the place down.
Right.
But Jacob called the rival factions on stage.
Okay.
You know, and called up Claude Mossop and Bucky Marshall and Mr. Welch and a couple of them on stage.
Yeah.
You know?
I never know that.
Yes, so you see, what happened when we get all the money on stage, you know, it was phenomenal just to get them together.
Of course.
On stage. But again, what a lot of people don't realize with Peace Concert, and you have to remember, I'm giving you everything. I'm shortening everything here.
Yeah, of course.
Peace Concert again shows the production of Inner Circle of the Inner Circle team,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of that production was us. Yes, we had a lot of help from other people.
Of course,
I'm not gonna deny. You know, Neville Garrick was there doing the artwork and so forth. Chris Blackwell put his finances in there, and certain other people, because Bob Marley is appearing,
right,
and all this. So, you know what I mean? But technically, we actually did a lot of the stage work and got the stage working.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And the band changes along with Tommy Cowan. People credit Tommy Cowan more so, realizing that Inner Circle was a driving force behind a lot of stuff like that.
Mm. That happens a lot of times.
You know?
They see somebody out front and they think that's who's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, or they think, you know, because it's Bob and it's Bob Marley, they think, you know.
Yeah.
That happens quite a bit. But you see, it's good to know that information, that you guys were the ones behind it. So what I was getting at with this in particular was, how did the
whole thing came about? Well, as I said, what happened was we did Peace Concert and Mick was there.
Okay.
I remember Mick trying to come on stage. And somebody says, you know who that is? That's Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. And then somebody says, yeah, he could have a rolling car from now on tonight.
So you obviously met him then?
You know the Jamaican.
Of course.
Style already, you know. So could have been World Cup knockoff. So anyway, the next day I was at, I think the Sheraton.
Okay.
I was at the Sheraton, sitting at the bar, and this guy walked up to me drinking him Guinness and, you know, hey, I'm Mick Jagger, blah, 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 got me own band, you know. I'd like it to come and use a Jamaica and use a term we don't use. I'd like it to come with me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But anyway, you know, from one thing lead to another, and you know, I ended up in a Woodstock with them.
Really?
Because they were in Bearsville. They were rehearsing up in Bearsville.
Okay.
At the time, you know. At Albert Grossman's place.
Okay.
So, of course, going up there, I met so many rock and roll stars. It's crazy.
Oh, I could imagine.
You know, yeah, because Albert Grossman was the big man in time, and he was the manager for you name whoever, you know, at the time. So, you know what I mean? That's when I met people like, Paul Butterfield and...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Marshall Chess Jr., his Chess Records son.
Yeah,
people like that, you know.
So I got to meet all these illustrious people in the business.
So tell us a little bit about the stint.
What happened was that Mick invited me to play.
Okay.
And I was there rehearsing with them for a while. And it was going all right, but it wasn't going the way they wanted it to.
Okay.
So Woody had an idea that he wanted Ian McLagan. Ian McLagan was his keyboard player from Small Faces.
Okay.
So eventually Woody called in Ian and Ian showed up. So when Ian showed up, I said, okay, I'm gone. You know, but anyway, I left and I went up to Canada. And I was up in Canada for about a week. And the tour was just about to kick off. And for some reason, I returned to New York. I don't know what happened. I came back down to New York.
Uh-huh.
And I got the call and said, hey, man, they still need you on the tour. I said, what? Okay, all right. So I ended up doing the tour, but not with the Rolling Stones. I ended up doing the tour with Peter Tosh.
Who was opening for the Rolling Stones, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this then. So you were playing keys for Peter. Did you play the whole tour?
Yeah.
And, I mean, tell us about
somebody just put it up there just recently, man, just this week. You know, somebody put that up. I think it was Robbie Lynn put it up. Robbie Lynn put up something with him and I.
From
that tour, yeah.
And
it's kind of funny.
And that was a tour. You guys were playing big stadiums.
All stadiums, man.
All stadiums. And all sold out.
Everything sold out.
And how many people?
You know, I really wish back then we had things like these little devices, man.
So you could take pictures.
Yeah, because you know what? I remember at the Palladium, we were in a room. The Palladium in New York. It was one of those unannounced shows. It's one of those pop-up shows.
Yeah, the pop-ups, yeah.
Yeah, and we had Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Paul McCartney.
I heard about that.
All in the same room. And even more, because Elton John tried to get in and couldn't get in. The place was so packed, the fire marshals wouldn't let nobody else in. You know what I mean? I wish I had a picture. And nobody seems to have a picture of that.
Wow. I heard about that. I never.
Yeah. It's crazy, man, to think that, you know what I mean? I actually saw that with my own eyes.
So after the Peter Tosh gig, did, you know, all those rock and roll people, did you get any more involved in rock and roll in any way?
Well, not really, but the influence was of such. The influence was of such that if you listen to some of Inner Circle's content coming out of that, you have Disciplined Child.
Okay, that's the one.
Which you know, the influence of doing that tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And also playing on Jano's Up Park Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two influences
that converged
to give you Disciplined Child.
Well, let me ask you this then, because this is what sparked this whole interview, I'm not going to lie to you, was you and I were talking about Disciplined Child, and I said to you, I go, this does not sound like a typical Jamaican song. This sounds like a rock ballad. Done in reggae.
It is.
So who wrote that song?
That was me.
You wrote Disciplined Child?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Of course, Ian had some input too, but that was pretty much me.
So, okay, so that's where that comes from that rock experience. You kind of wrote that, helped compose.
Same thing with the song Rockers. I'm a reggae rocker. I'm a reggae rocker. Eddie Money had a song called Born to Be a Rocker.
Born to be a rocker. Yeah.
I'm going like, you know, he's playing A Day on the Green in San Francisco, Oakland, somewhere out there in Oakland. I think it was Oakland Coliseum.
Okay.
It was, we had A Day on the Green. And you had these big bands, you know, Santana, Eddie Money, everybody. And Born to Be a Rocker. Like, I'm a reggae rocker. You know,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
a reggae rocker.
Yeah.
You know, so that tour really, you know, not only that, but I was very influenced by rock in a lot of ways, because living in Ocho Rios, I met a lot of tourists.
Right, of course.
And you're listening to the music that some of them play. There was one friend of mine, a girl named Lorraine, she was from DC at the time.
Okay.
And she would come down with tons of tapes of different rock bands and soul that she loved. And she'd always leave them with me because she had the albums. So she'd just make tapes and she'd leave the tapes with me. And I'd be sitting there listening and amazed at this music and the energy of this music. And so that's, you know, where that came from. Not only that, but then you also had WGBS from Miami here that you could get in Jamaica.
Right,
and you
right.
would hear that influence of WGBS is top 40. So,
right.
You know, I mean, they play whatever is popular.
Right.
You know, so you get that and you listen to that too and you go like, you know.
So let me ask you this then. Who of the rock bands, who were the ones that kind of stood out to you that you liked personally?
Well, I want to tell you the truth. No, I'm going to give you a band, and most people would not even think of this. It's ironic in a lot of ways.
Okay.
But one of the bands that really stood out for me in the early days was a band from Florida.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
A band from Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh,
Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, yeah. Lynyrd Skynyrd. That was one of the bands that really stood. I really loved what they were doing.
Why though? Tell me why.
I don't know. From the very first record I heard pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd, they have, and again, they have this ballad on it, the Ballad of Curtis Slope.
Yeah.
That song really touched
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I could see that.
That song touched me.
I could see that. Because people that may not know them or are exposed to them,
yeah.
if you're exposed to that song, it's a song that will touch you.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, that song touched me. Later on, they did the sweet Oh My Alabama and Gimme Three Step Mister. That was much later on. But
it was
their first album, pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd, that really got under my skin. The second album too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you, Inner Circle as a band, probably played Freebird up in Jacksonville too, right? Because that was their venue.
Yeah.
So, well, that's very interesting. Yeah. Now, is there other styles of music that you're into and maybe compose or produce or play as well? I mean, obviously reggae is your forte,
we love all of that. We love all of that. But, you know, it's funny because people talk about R&B.
Mm-hmm.
You see, R&B, one of the things I learned being with the Stones, Mick Jagger said to me one day, we're not a rock and roll band. We're a rhythm and blues band.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that to me, that's when I start differentiating a few things. You know, he says, we're not a rock and roll band. We're a rhythm and blues. He never said R&B.
Right.
He said we're a rhythm and blues band.
Yeah, because they were very much a blues band.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's what he said.
America put them in that rock category.
There you go. Well, people tend to want to do that.
Of course they do. They want to put you in a hole.
Yeah.
You know? So tell me some of the other musics, like, you know, that you were influenced by and maybe that you even dabbled in and played in or...
Well, I never played this, but I like The Who. I like a lot of what The Who did in the late 70s, early 80s. I like what The Who did.
Okay.
There's a couple other bands I can think of back then, but...
What about genres or different styles of music?
Different styles. In school, everybody was playing R&B. They were playing a lot of Robert Flack, Aretha Franklin, and all of that.
Nina Simone.
And funny enough, I was never into it.
Okay. Were you ever into, like, for some reason, I felt like there was a time in your life that you were, obviously in more modern times, into some of the electronic stuff.
I am very much into electronics. I've always been into electronic stuff because, as most people call it, EDM.
Right.
You know, electronic dance music.
Right.
I don't see it that way. You know? I see it as electronic dub music.
Okay.
You know, that's what it is because they take a lot of what. If you speak to some of the original guys who got into the genre, they'll tell you that they took a lot from reggae.
Right, of course.
And they took a lot from what people like Lee Scratch Perry and King Tubby's were doing. Mm-hmm. The effects, the drops, and all that stuff. It, you know, reggae has lent itself to the world in so many ways. But in saying that, reggae also took a lot from the world. You know, because it's a amalgamation of R&B, of mento, of jazz, you know, African rhythms, you know. So reggae in itself did take a lot from the world, but we have also given back
very
a lot.
Much. It was, you know, the way I like to put it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Jamaicans always had a different interpretation that ended up becoming their contribution back. For instance, hear me out. Ska was Jamaican rendition of American jazz.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So look what the difference there is. That was their interpretation. And ska gave way to rocksteady, which gave way to reggae.
Yes.
So basically, if you want to get down to the nitty-gritty, jazz gave birth to reggae, if you think about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, that we took from the rest of the world
and gave it back in a different way, you know? So did you actually ever play electronic music or any type of EDM?
We dabble in it. I wouldn't say we play in it, but, you know, the fact was, a few years ago, they used to have the new music festival here in Miami, and the Remix Hotel that became what is the name they call it now?
What, Ultra?
Ultra. That became Ultra.
Right.
Yeah. So, in the early days, I used to hang with a lot of these jocks. You know, these European DJs and I picked up a little bit from them.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, so that in itself was very interesting to meet them and hear
what they're doing. I think, you know, one of the things that really to help make people understand the correlation is that music is very keyboard based and synthesizers.
Yes.
And you being a keyboard player, obviously, you with an open mind, that's maybe where the draw came in, if I'm not mistaken, right? Because that's where a lot of that.
And yes, but it's not just that. It's four on the floor. I don't want to use the term easy, but it's again like reggae, where reggae is a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's four on the floor.
Yeah.
So 120 beats. Now we're up to like 138. but it's still the rhythm of the heart, you know.
It's still
that pulse.
Yep. So tell me, comparing, because, you know, back in the days when you were coming up, when they did recordings, everybody was in one room, and it was all analog. now there's obviously, you know, you being a partner in Circle House Studios, there is a lot of digital going on now. Tell us the pluses of analog and the pluses of digital from your perspective. Because you're a man that's come.
Me personally, I love analog.
Right. I know you do.
I love analog. But I'm going to tell you what I miss. What I miss, it's coming back slowly, but the camaraderie of having four or five guys in a room playing together, you know, for a while I missed that because it wasn't happening. At one point it wasn't happening, but now it's coming back. If you notice, even here where we're sitting here right now, we have a live room that people can actually sit in and play, you know. And that's one of the things that we in a circle try to get the newer generation coming up to understand that, hey, You know, we just redid this old room here, and there's actually an analog tape machine. A 2-inch tape machine,
right,
and Pro Tools next to each other.
Okay, there you go. So you get the best of the warmth of analog and the preciseness of digital.
Yeah,
nice.
together.
So you guys are actually combining the two worlds.
Yes.
Getting the best of both.
With an analog console also.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh nice. Well, that's good to know. You know, there was a question. I'm kind of going to back up a little bit. Now, you obviously the band was together until Jakes died in the car crash in 1980. There was a big gap there between 1980 and I guess it was about 1986 or so.
About right.
What was the band doing during that time? I know there was a lot of mourning going on, and
well, we were still working, but not as a band. And we worked as a band. We worked as a band, backing other people. Like for example, we did a few shows with Dennis Brown. We did a few shows here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, primarily Dennis Brown. We did some things here in the U.S.
Okay.
With Dennis, when Dennis had to tour, because we were already here, so he didn't have to fly a band from Jamaica and all that. So
when did you guys move to the States?
We moved here when, it's kind of funny, you know, we never really moved to the States. Up to now, we don't really move. You know, so it's kind of hard to say that one.
Okay.
You know, we have a situation here.
Of course.
But, you know, the fact was that about 76, we kind of shift certain assets.
Okay.
To the States.
Makes sense.
You know, from about 76, we shift a few assets and, you know, kind of.
Some juggling.
You have to.
Be smart.
In other words, you have to think ahead.
Of course.
You can't wait until the moment.
Right.
To decide. You know, I mean, you have to see what's coming down the line, and you know, I'll give you a good example.
Okay.
A big investor in reggae took us here to Miami.
Okay.
Back in the 70s, and took us to South Beach.
Okay.
And said, "You guys should buy a piece of property here, you know."
Wow.
And we looked at him and go, "This man must be crazy," because South Beach was a dump at the time.
Yeah.
It was literally a dump.
It was.
He says, "You guys should buy a piece of property here." And I bought this and I bought that and I bought. We never listened.